Let's turn this evening to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23 to begin our study this evening. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I hope that this will be the last on the scriptures, because we've spent three study times already, this being the third, hopefully the last on that. We have thought about the necessity of scripture. We've spoken about it, that it's a revelation from God, it's inspired. We spoke about its authority. Its preservation is so important to us that God has preserved it. In fact, for preservation, it runs through every part of it, from the time of inspiration through the time of what we call inscripturation, when it was written down. God preserved it, even including the works of translation. God preserved it, so that because it makes sense that it is His word, He must preserve it. He gave it to be read and studied, so He must preserve it. And so He has preserved it. And we spoke about the sufficiency of Scripture, and then its self-testimony or self-authentication. It proves itself to be the Word of God. This evening, we hope to touch on two other attributes, but I would add one other, which is not strictly an attribute of Scripture, but it's an important thing that has to do with interpretation of Scripture. But I start with this one. Here in our passage, verse 23, Proverbs 6, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We're speaking about the Scriptures as a clear word. The Scriptures are clear. The clarity of the Scriptures. This is a very important thing. And again, it flows from the fact that it is God who gave it. If God gave His Scriptures to be read and obeyed, it follows that it has to be clear. If it isn't clear, who else will hear and obey? And so it's important. But look at the passage we started with. For the commandment is a lamp, and this are the Hebrew, is simply a luminary, something that brights like the sun. The commandment is like that. And the law, you know, in the Old Testament, very often when he uses the word law, it's not referring to the Ten Commandments only, but the entire our scripture. It is a light, it says also, it's a light. So, and the reproofs of Scripture, or the words of correction that Scripture gave, is also a way of life, the way of life. So it tells us that the Bible is clear. Let me go here straight away before I say more. Psalm 119, I'm sure we remember this passage, Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lamp as a big luminary like the sun, and a light like the small light that guides you step by step. Both ways, the Bible does that work. Now, by this we do not mean that the Bible has no difficulties. The Bible admits. Remember 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16, Peter said that there are difficult things in the Bible. And so we do not mean that there are no difficult things in the Bible, but we mean simply that the things that are basic for our salvation, the things that would be known, could be known for salvation, God is maybe so plain that anyone at all, using very ordinary means, can read the Scripture and discover it. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to go to seminary before you can understand the fundamentals of Scripture. We say no. God wrote His Bible, and the Lord had the ordinary person in view, and so He wrote His word in such a way that those things that are necessary unto salvation and to enable us to walk with God, God has left it as it were at the very surface of Scripture. You don't have to dig before. You simply have to have the basic attitude to read it, and you would know it. And so that's the understanding. And so by this we say that it simply flows from the fact that God gave His word to be known and to be read and to be understood. And so the question, has God accomplished that? Did God write a book that accomplished that purpose? We say yes. He wrote a book that could be understood by anyone who comes to it very diligently. Now, and clarity is not the same as believing. A person may be clear on the word of God, but not necessarily believe it. Believing is that aspect that the Bible teaches us, that it's a gift from the Lord. We can be so clear. This is why anyone who has read the scripture has a double answer to give before the Lord, because he's known what the Bible is saying, and yet he ignored it. And so, clarity is not the same as believing. I may be clear of what the Bible is saying, but I may not embrace it. I may not depend upon it and desire that it transforms me. And so, we have to be very clear about this also. Let me add another thing we need to remember, that God, this has to do with the fundamentals. But anyone who would take upon himself the responsibility of teaching the Bible would have to bear the additional responsibility, which the Bible says involves digging. He has to work harder. The Bible is not for the lazy. So there are two parts of it, isn't it? One part is that what needs to be known to bring us into communion with God is so plain in the Bible, so easily discerned. You can easily grasp that from the Bible. However, to be able to be very established and so even become a teacher of others, we need to dig. We need to work harder. And the Bible will never yield its fruit to a lazy person unless we want to study and be careful and read on and on. And so, again, the Bible does contain mysteries. I've mentioned that already. And so we are not surprised that there are things we cannot understand. So this understanding of the Bible is basically that God has made himself known in such a way that anyone can read it. What is that basic attitude which is necessary for me to understand the very fundamentals of the Bible? We say, read with reverence. Read the Bible, that this is God's book. Read it, that attitude. I will speak a lot about reading this evening, because I believe it's a very important part, especially in trying to permit me to use the word, ordinary Christians become masters of Scripture. That is so powerful, and I will explain that a bit. Now, let me turn to some New Testament texts to show a few things, and I'll go on to the next. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse 43. John chapter 8 and verse 43-45. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You see this verse? The Lord, almost, if we can use this human expression, but he's astonished that his hearers could not understand him. He was speaking so plainly, so clearly, and yet they could not understand him. And so he asked them, why do you not understand my speech? Now, this is the reason he's giving. It's not because it's not clear, but something else is the cause. Even because he cannot hear my word, even because you are so prejudiced against my word, you don't want to hear. You don't want to be told what is true. And he will tell them very soon. Why? Because he gives them the reason. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. He never liked the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And listen to what the Lord asks in 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You are the children of the devil, and he hates truth. And because I'm presenting truth, you reject it like your father. You see? And so, when people cannot understand the Bible, the basics, it is because they have determined to go on to live as they want. They do not want to be challenged. But it's a very important thing. The very moment I fix my mind upon a life I want to live, well, the Bible becomes a closed book to me. I come to the Bible ready to be taught and be challenged about anything. And then, even the difficult parts will begin to become smoother and smoother as I go on. But we are even dealing now with the fundamentals, which is a promise. And you know this promise of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 17, still in John chapter 17 and verse 17. It's a very beautiful passage. John chapter 17 and verse 7 and 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Does anybody desire to do God's will? The Lord Jesus is saying he will know the doctrine. He will know very clearly that I am speaking the very words of my Father. And so the clarity of the word, the difficulties that people have in the scriptures, if we put aside the admittedly difficult parts of scripture with the Bible itself attests, or some of the deeper things in scripture which takes time, if we put aside these two, we say those things that need to be known to come to salvation in Christ and to walk with him are so made plain in the Bible that anyone who desires to know it and comes to scripture with a proper attitude will know it. So that is what we mean by the clarity of scripture. When I come to scripture reading, I will come a little upon that again. But I move on to I wanted to discuss this lust, but because my last point really sounds lust, I want to discuss that lust. Because of that lust would be the finality of scripture. And so, even though interpretation isn't an attribute of scripture, I want to speak just a little about that before I go to the finality of scripture. It's a bit not a best arrangement, but I want to speak about finality last. So the next one is about interpretation of scripture. And you know, this passage here that the Lord said lays a foundation for us. Still in John chapter 7 and verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. How should we interpret the scriptures? I want to speak in a way that would benefit every one of us, especially, permit me to say, ordinary Christians. In fact, one of the things that it makes us admire God is this, that all the seemingly difficult things that people go to seminaries to learn about how to interpret the scriptures, a very basic attitude would have really cut down about 90% of all that labor. So that you wouldn't suffer much difficulty. In fact, years ago I read one great writer who said that anybody who had a desire to obey the Lord and gave himself to a serious reading of the Bible, he would never be far from any truth. Even if he doesn't grasp it entirely, he would not be far from the fundamental truths. How should we interpret the Bible? We say that very basically, you do not need to go to read a book on Bible interpretation. We say no. It doesn't mean if somebody wrote that book that would be wrong, because it makes the work easier, isn't it? Perhaps the thing that we are coming to say, he hasn't had the time to really find them out in scripture. And so if somebody's found them out and put them down in a book, it's helpful for us. But the last thing we tell people, that for you to understand the Bible, your pathway is not to depend on a book first. It's the no, no, no. We say that for you to understand the Bible, you begin with the Bible itself.
Why? We said when Almighty God wrote His Bible, He added His manual to it. He hasn't written a book, He hasn't set up a machinery and asked other people to write for Him the manual. Have you heard of that before? If you manufacture a machine right now, supposing you should manufacture a certain machine, what machine would that be? You might manufacture that machine. You yourself will write the manual, isn't it? You will show people how the machine operates. And Almighty God didn't write the Bible and then said, oh, let people sit somewhere and devise a way to understand the Bible. You say, no. Then you see the danger of it. Then God would have written up His book, but would have to depend upon somebody to help us understand. What is there wrong? And so the fundamental attitude of, if you like, the evangelical Christian sisters, that God wrote His own manual in it. How do we discover that manual? We say, when His own Son came, and His apostles were preaching, they were engaging in Bible interpretation. They would pick up a passage and show us how to understand that passage. We learn from them how they handle the passages of Scripture the same way we also want to handle the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ as a supreme example. I say this so that you don't become scared, my dear friends. You don't become scared and say that, in fact, other parts of the world, people want Christians to feel almost intimidated, afraid to really be able to get into the Scripture and learn from it. It gives them the feeling, you need to read such a book and book and book before you come to understand it. We say, no, a book may be helpful, but we can glean everything from the Scriptures because God Himself added the manual here. Friends, I would touch on a few things very soon. But friends, I can tell you this for sure. If any faithful church, because preaching and teaching the Bible is another means God uses to make His word clearer and clearer, but any serious Christian who is regularly at his church, if the church has a sound Bible teaching, and he himself gives himself to the study, the constant reading, let me use a very fundamental, constant reading of the Bible, you would realize that let somebody who has been to any seminary, and if I'm assuming it's a sound seminary, let him tell you anything which is truly relevant to Christianity. Nowadays, seminaries tend to teach things that are not even relevant to the Christian life, unfortunately. The sounder ones do make sure they keep themselves within profitable things every time. But if you are a regular, serious reader of your Bible, over time, this wouldn't happen overnight, but over time, you would realize that somebody who's been to the seminary, probably even with higher degrees or whatever, when he's speaking about things of Christianity, he may use terms you don't understand. But if he broke down those terms and explained what they were, if you would do a better work than him, you would say, I know this is in this verse, this is this, this is. In fact, if I can just tell you this, some time ago, there was a young man. Because I truly believe that if the church structures its Bible study like we are doing, if the church structures its Bible study well, any member who comes regularly and listens and studies diligently, he himself also going back to see these things for himself. With time, he must know so much that no one can intimidate him. If he's coming with terms, maybe we don't know what that term means, but if he explains it, we can really tell him what it means. This young man had been attending a Bible school in Cape Coast, and then one time he came to a Bible study. I don't think we were not using theological terms, I'm sure, but when we closed, he told some of the people, the things I've been learning in seminary, you are learning from your Bible studies. And in fact, a pastor attested to the same thing. Not with us only, I have a pastor friend in Takoradi, and he asked me that he was going to start a kind of a training, leadership training, almost like a seminary thing, and was going to teach a number of particular things he told me. And he had to ask, because he knew what we were studying. He had asked me the kind of things we handle at our Bible study, because Bible studies give us opportunity to be a bit more technical, dealing with issues, things like that. He said that, after he said, oh, what you do at your Bible study, that's what I want to do in that whatever training. A center. My point is this: any church, if they are very serious-minded people, its most diligent members should so be able to handle scripture fairly well, so that you don't have to be afraid of really going to the scripture and believing that you can draw. So what should you be doing? And I say only one thing, one essential thing. Now, there are a number of preparations. I will touch on the preparation. But that what you do itself, I will reduce it to one for our benefit, for ordinary Christians. The most important thing is the preparations, friends. How you approach the Bible. If you come to the Bible to find some self-justification, well, you will find it. And it will be wrong. You wouldn't understand the Bible. If I come to the Bible just to get something, to win an argument, the Spirit of the Lord has not promised to teach such persons. He wouldn't teach you. If I want to just know the Bible in order to be able to excuse myself, if I come to the Bible with a light heart, not really taking it seriously, then, friends, you will lose so much. Because this is the Lord who would teach us. If I come to the Bible merely with a kind of superficial spirit, then you would not really understand much at all. Come with much prayer. Please make it a habit. Make it a habit. Anytime you pick up this book to read, go to the Lord. Pray. Ask Him for help. Ask Him to help you lay aside your own prejudices and mindsets, and help you to really read with understanding. Pray that He would help you to read with a readiness to obey. It's the biggest condition in the Bible. We saw that in this place, in John chapter 7 and verse 17. If there is that desire to be molded, if I thirst to be changed and made a better person, if I want my understanding to be brought to the very light of God's mind, then, friends, I will be taught. It's a promise, you see. So, come with a desire. You want to be challenged. You want, you know, Puritan says that if you come to the Bible and it doesn't challenge you, you have to be concerned. Possibly God is closing His book to you. It has to challenge us and show us how we are walking. Never hurry through it, friends. Never hurry through it. Read it with a spirit of carefulness. And then read with patience. Because don't rush to conclusions. This is a big book. So remind yourself, it requires patience. So if these attitudes are in place, and by the help of the Lord they are in place, then, friends, I suggest only one thing. And that would stand you in good stead to understand so much of the Bible. And it is the simple thing: read. Read it frequently. Read it regularly. If you allow too many breaks in your reading habits of scripture, you lose. Read. The Lord wrote that it may be read. Read it regularly. When you are able, sometimes at one sitting, read the whole book of the Bible. You can finish reading the whole of Colossians at one sitting. It's only four chapters, can't you? See, once you read the whole thing at one sitting, and you are reading with a reverence and seriousness, you see what is happening, isn't it? You see the whole thing out. The teachings is building up. The longer books, you may break it down into maybe a few days and read it. I'm not, if you can, I'm assuming you don't have money for books. And so this is what you should do. Read it. And the more you read it, like last time we said, the more the Lord enlightens your mind. We teach these things in seminary. Or we teach it to leaders. It's not in seminaries when you are reading the Bible. This take and give attention to such things. But I tell you, they will come very naturally to you if you make a habit of reading the Bible carefully, patiently, but regularly. Because as you read and you do that regularly, you will find yourself paying attention to details. Isn't that true? Before you realize, I've read this passage, well, I've gone wrong, come back to it again. Before you realize, you're paying attention to details you didn't see the other time. And this is a whole big issue we teach in seminary. Pay attention to details, and yet it comes by careful reading. Read carefully. Pay attention to context. What is being said? If we're reading, this is why small readings are very dangerous. Memorizing scripture has its advantage, but we warn people that if you're not careful, you may make the big mistake of quoting verses out of context. And so, if you are, as I said the last time, even if you use a devotional guide and it only bases the lesson on one or two verses, please, you yourself commit yourself to read the entire chapter. And then focus on that passage that the devotional guide is picking upon. Then, with time, you realize you always know the context. You wouldn't need anybody to give you rules about that. Because you read, you are aware, I'm reading, things flowing, and if the pieces are falling in place. And so friends, I encourage you to really read that regularly. And as you read, and this forms very naturally, as you read, you begin to realize you see in other places in scripture where similar things are said, isn't it? And this is a powerful interpreting rule, that we interpret scripture by scripture, because Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we understand spiritual things by comparing them to spiritual things. And so, but as you read scripture regularly, and if I can give you a practical counsel, if it's possible, use only one Bible. If it's possible, especially if you are now starting reading scripture, use one Bible and pay attention to it. And with time, you do a kind of a concordance in your own Bible. As you read that passage, you remember, I think I read something like this in Matthew also. Go there, write that passage there, write the others there. So you have kind of a cross-reference for yourself. With time, you realize that when you are turning to one aspect of scripture, you know that, oh, it's also taught in this area. And it will save you from falling into errors in interpreting scripture. Because one of the strongest rules in trying to understand scripture, we say, we do not build our interpretation of scripture on a book outside the Bible. You cannot say, this verse means this because I read a book that came from Egyptian mummies and it says this, and we say, no, that's rubbish. No, we want you to convince us only from this book. Other books may throw light upon it, but we never build an interpretation on anything anybody has said outside. We say, technical word we use is extra-biblical material. We do not build our understanding of scripture upon that. We build that entirely on God's own word. And then it makes us stand fast so that, friends, even if you don't have many books, if you can afford a few, by all means, get those ones that help you open up scripture for you. It speeds up what I'm talking about. Good book only speeds up what we are discussing. But supposing you can't afford them, you don't know which one. Now follow through earnest and serious reading of the Bible. Oh friends, if you do that earnestly, you will be so armed with scripture. All you know is scripture, and that is so much enough. And C.S. Spurgeon says that fear a man who has only one weapon. All he has is the Bible. The man has all the volumes in his house. If he doesn't have a good, thorough knowledge of the Bible, he would not even have discernment about the books he reads, whether they're telling him what is right or wrong. You know, when I think of it, it reminds me sometimes, when was it? Was it 2003 or 2004? It must have been, you know, after the 11th September disaster in America, You know, eventually the Americans invaded Iraq with the help of the British. And some of these things are always fascinating because, you know, that what happened was that when they were actually invading Iraq, there was almost no resistance. They put up no resistance at all. In fact, it's later that we understood why. What they did, if you remember, if I don't know why I'm interested in war. Not too much, because war reveals human nature really well. And so, and you see human craftiness at play. And it's always interesting to read about that. So, especially the two wars, the First World War and Second World War, I like reading about them and all the intrigues and all the, except the wickedness and the killings. That was sometimes was really sad. Anyway, but when Americans and the British were invading Iraq, if you follow the news at that time, there was almost no resistance. And so they allowed them to invade, get in. And then, because yes, there's a mighty force coming with all these powerful machines. How could they resist them? There had been a few years in the 1990s, and Iraq had always actually lost much of his weapons, but they didn't have much. You remember the president at the time, Saddam Hussein, if you remember him. And he didn't have much weapon. And this is American coming in with all the anger, with the September 11 at the back of their heads, with all the anger. If you remember in the news, after they had invaded Iraq, after a few months, we heard that the Iraqis were killing American soldiers. And anyway, we saw their strategy. You know, they went within a very basic attitude. They knew their terrain. They knew the basic things in there and the basic weapons they hold in, and they made it count. I'm not commending them, I'm sure, my dear friends. I'm not commending them. But they made it count for them. What they did is they waited until the Americans had spread themselves out, and they were totally spread. And now, if we could not resist them when they were coming as a huge army, what if when they are grouped into tens and the twenties? Ah, that's what that one we can't stand them. And so they went to the window in groups of 10 and 20, and that's where they used their basic weapon. And it became a frightening situation because the news was almost every day. You hear 100 Americans are being killed, 50 are being killed, it was coming regularly. Friend, that's what's my point of this. My dear friend, I am absolutely convinced if any Christian, I do not want you to feel dependent upon books. If you can acquire good ones, sure, do. But if you can't, give yourself to the scriptures until you know it and you know the passages of scripture. It will become your basic weapon. Let whoever has learnt anything come with all the supposedly powerful argument or whatever, with your simple scriptures in your hand, you will dismantle it all. That's how God designed the Bible. So that any diligent student of it wouldn't have to feel dependent upon any higher learning before, but would be encouraged entirely to stand for the Lord, because the Lord would bless that. Please, let's read two passages of Scripture. And I'm picking all of them from the Psalms. Psalm 36, the first one. Psalm 36. I remember we read this passage on Lord's Day evening, Psalm 36 and verse 9. Psalm 36 and verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. Do you see that beautiful text there? It's only in the light of the Lord do we see light. If he denies us light, we see nothing. And so, the attitude of humility, desire to obey him, desire to follow him, alongside an earnest reading of the Bible, will pour so much light. Look at Psalm 119 and 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. It is another beautiful verse. Psalm 119 and verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance, the Hebrew means the opening up of the word. When the Lord opens his word to us, how much we depend upon him, friends, to open his word to us. Then it gives us light. And then we have understanding. And even though it may be simple, the word means sometimes somebody who is not learned at all. Even sometimes it may mean a foolish person, not in the sense of morally foolishness, but ignorant. The word will make him wiser and make him able to stand and to represent the Lord. So friends, for interpretation, I put emphasis on the preparations, the humility, the prayer, the desire to be taught, and then the willingness to commit yourself to endless reading of the Bible. And then, supposing you can't afford other books, I want to leave it even at that. And you would see so much in the scripture. Let me come to the final one, about the finality of scripture. Now, we say that the scriptures are the very final place of appeal. If we go to scripture, and the scripture says so, it's enough. The finality of the scriptures. We say that, so for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we only try to prove everything, all our teaching, all that we do, by the word alone. We have an example. I remember, see the example, just an example here, please, in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, I'm only picking out aspects because it's a lengthy passage, but Acts 15, look at verse 13. This is about the gathering in Jerusalem to resolve the matter of circumcision, you remember. And so Acts chapter 15, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. And then so James is addressing the brethren about the question at stake. This was a controversial case at the time. And one of the beautiful things that James does is to simply quote scripture throughout. For James, his whole evidence is scripture, verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophet, that is it, as it is written. Do you see? Proving it from scripture. And then he goes on, and then he draws his final sentence, and he puts it properly. Look at verse 90, wherefore, only because scripture has said, he says, wherefore, my sentences, that we trouble them not. Where is he drawing it from? Because of the testimony of scripture. That's the final tribunal where he resolves everything. And I'm sure you remember the Lord Jesus did the same thing in Matthew chapter 22, when the Pharisees were asking questions about whether we will marry in the resurrection in heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ started by saying, Matthew 22 started by saying, you do not know the scriptures nor the power of the Lord. By that he means the scriptures has the answer. And so that should have answered you in Matthew 22. I'm not turning to that, but let me turn to this. You know this passage, but it's also always beautiful that I want to remind yourself again and again. In Luke chapter 16, you remember the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 29. You know these words. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, it's the rich man, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And listen to verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, meaning the scriptures, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Friends, this has to be a strong, we don't have to only say it, it has to be a strong feeling in us. If somebody who didn't believe what the Bible is saying, what else can we tell him? Where else can we draw wisdom? And so, this is the finality of Scripture. If Scripture has spoken, and somebody thinks, no, no, we need something else, we say, no, we don't have it. All we have is the Scriptures. It's final. It's the final place. No, friends, it's not only improving things. It also includes where we seek light and understanding. Where we draw comfort. Friends, supposing we are in a state of great disturbance, do we have hearts that would be rested if scriptures were shown to us? If somebody came around in the midst of our difficulties and said, brother, but look at what the Bible is saying. Would that settle the matter? If somebody should show us a promise, will that settle the matter for us? It is said that during the Reformation, Martin Luther was very distressed, and he was walking with one of his friends. I don't know whether it was Melanchthon or whichever, I don't remember now, but he was walking alongside, and he was really bemoaning the situation. We know that during the Reformation, there was a time when things were almost getting out of hand because people were playing political games through it too. And so it was almost going to get out of hand. And so he was worried. And then, when he went to one of the churches, he overheard children gathered and praying for Martin Luther. Praying for the Reformation, what was happening. Then it was said about the Luther, looked at a friend and said, that's it, I'm okay. The matter is resolved. Because he knows that God answers prayer. And so if there's prayer going on, matters are settled. We say, if the Bible says it, it's settled. Nothing. Friend, in the church, we say that if we want to resolve any matter at all, the Bible should be the place we come. And once we know what the Bible says, everyone should say, well, I swallow my comment. I cannot say anything. This is the very word of God. It's a test for a true church. And it's a test for a genuine Christian. Is the Bible the final word? So that once he sees it, once he's shown what the Bible is saying, is satisfied. But there's an important element to this. We say that there are things the Bible say we can point people to it, but we cannot tell them the mechanics of how it works. It's enough to be shown that yes, the Bible teaches it. When the churches began from first century down, everybody believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was God. People believed that there's a Father in the Bible who is God. There's the Son who, from what he did and what he said about himself, they could see that is God. They could see the Holy Spirit, whom is the very Spirit of God. They could see he is God. But the question was, no one tried to resolve how the three can come together. They simply believed it because it is in the Bible. It was later when people were putting pressure on the churches, then they said, oh, let's try to give some explanation. Let's try and show how these work together from the light of Scripture. And they did that. And even there you would know that the teaching about Trinity does not remove all the parts that is mysterious. It only shows us how it is like, but we cannot resolve all the mysteries. And are we surprised? We're not surprised because it's about God. We cannot fathom We cannot dig up everything that has to do with Him. There has to be so much that is amazing and wonderful to us, friends. So the finality of Scripture is a test, my dear friends, for ourselves. Do I have a conscience that once the Bible is told me, I find myself bowing and melting before it? The finality of Scripture, we don't only teach it, it has to ring in our souls also. Let me read this last passage. And this is in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. And this is Isaiah's powerful challenge to those who would want to listen to something else. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Let me start with verse 19, for that it makes sense. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that matter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? Listen to verse 20. To the law, and to the testimony, that's the scripture. To the law, meaning let us go to the law. Let us go to the scriptures. If they speak not according to this word, this testimony and word and the law, it is because there's no light in them. If people would not want to speak according to this word, it's because their heart is full of darkness. No light in them. And so, if there's a light of the Lord in our souls, we go to the testimonies of Scripture and let us find the answers there. I close with this. Someone may say, oh, but aren't there very sincere people with different views about all kinds of things? You have Calvinists and you have all the other groups. And they're all sincere. Yes, we are sincere. And all of them, we don't have to question the sincerity of others. In fact, if we'll be of any help to them, there will be all these manner of things. But we said this. Is any one of us trying, at least from a pure conscience, prove his case from Scripture? Now, if we are trying to prove our case from the Scripture, then it is the responsibility of each one of us to be patient with the other. Because God is able to give light. He gives light. He gives understanding. Will He give it every time? From what we know He does, not always to everyone. But what is enough from our first point? What is enough for us to be saved and to walk with Him in a clear conscience? He will give it to everyone. But the other things, He may well leave us one different from the other. And they will not be the fundamental questionable matters. If they are the fundamental issues, then there will be the need for separation. But there will be the other issues for which we still wrestle with one another and try to speak, hopefully, each one of us with a patient and a willing heart, listening, and then with time, you know, trying to grow in Scripture. Now, you know, I spoke a little about that. Requires patience, friends. Patience for even for ourselves. Take time to read and read and read. And a number of things begin to strike you. You would begin to realize that you yourself, your understanding is growing as time go on. And so you are required to be patient with others as long as they sincerely would want to learn. So friends, we've considered the clarity of Scripture, the Bible, at this very fundamental level. The Lord deliberately left it so. And even the other deeper things, with patience and earnestness, God promises to teach us and to make matters clear if we come to it with a clear conscience. But however, there are difficult things in the Bible. There are mysteries. We are not surprised. If it is God's book to human beings, there has to be something we don't understand, because there's something about God we would never be able to grasp fully. But whatever we understand, we commit ourselves to believe it and let it settle all the questions for us. But let me encourage you again. Please commit yourself to a serious, earnest, regular reading of the Bible. You will see the profit and gain of it after a while. May the Lord help us all, friends. Let's close, please, by singing together from hymn number 335. Hymn number 335.